Praise the Lord. We're headed somewhere. Everyone that's in heaven have faced the same things people quit over every day. There's no place to quit. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6 and Luke chapter 8, I'd like to read a verse out of both of those chapters, words of our Lord. I try to minister always, whether it's preaching, counseling, teaching, under the belief that only the truth can set us free. Only the truth can set us free. Amen. I'm so glad it does. Amen. It's when folks tell the truth about their lives that they can be set free. Amen. Tell the truth about their situation, circumstances. That's when God is able to set free. If you stand for the reading of God's word tonight, I don't have a lot of voice to yell tonight. Not that I try to yell, it's just the only way I know how to preach. But I do have a message I want to share. And first of all, I want to entitle this a question, and I want us to think about this. The question is, am I really saved? Am I really saved? Now, I'm not dealing with tonight assurance of salvation that's to be found by taking the word for what it says, by the witness of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about people who make a profession of faith. That's an easy thing to say, isn't it? I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But if someone is going to make that profession of faith, then it would be a good thing and an honest thing for them to simply answer the question, am I really saved? I've made that claim. I've said I'm saved. I've professed that. Is that a true statement? I really believe what we're sharing tonight is something not just for Union Road, but for the church world of our time. It's something we need to get. We need to get this. We need to get a handle on this. And so I've turned to Jesus' words in chapter 6 and verse 44. Jesus said, every tree is known by his own fruit. Let me just go ahead and apply that. Every person is known by his fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. That doesn't happen. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. The picture of the gospel, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. They got saved, but how do they know they're saved? They bring forth fruit with patience. How do you know they really got the gospel? How do you know they really received the gospel? How do you know they really kept the gospel? Because they begin to bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. So tonight, I mean this for anybody and everybody to deal with this issue, but I just want us to think about this. Am I really saved? Now remember, I'm not talking about the attack of Satan. You know, he likes to tell all of us from time to time we're not saved. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how do you know it's a real kind of salvation, a real experience with God? God bless you. You can be seated. We're living in a time where a lot of teaching and preaching has led people to believe that a simple profession or proclamation, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, makes them a Christian. I talked to my dad on the phone, and he was talking about a time at work, and this had been many years ago, that a man told him that he was a Christian, but it was evident that his life, you know, just didn't, well, I'm just going to get ahead of myself, bear fruit. And he told the guys, you know, it doesn't matter. As long as there was a time when you accepted Christ as Savior, invited him into your heart, even if that was a child, it doesn't matter what you do now, because once you're saved, you're saved. And my dad asked him the question. He said, do you mean if, this was a married man, he said, do you mean if you were to go tonight and commit adultery and be with that other woman, if Jesus came, you'd go into rapture? And a man said, oh, yes, I'm saved. With another person committing adultery. That's where we've come in a twisted doctrine from the Word of God to believe just the profession that at one time you walked an aisle, at one time you repeated some prayer, at one time you made the proclamation, maybe one time was baptized. As long as you can say there was a time I was saved, that means that you are a saved person. There at the new property we bought, along both sides, the honeysuckle had completely taken over. And if any of you have wrestled with that stuff, you can't hardly kill it. I mean, it just keeps growing back and growing back. But along the property line by the field, there was so much honeysuckle, I didn't realize it until this fall and winter. I started cutting it away. But the previous owners had planted all kinds of trees. They were smaller trees, but they had planted all kinds of trees. And then the honeysuckle had grown up and hidden the trees. We didn't even know they were there. I mean, all different kinds. And so now that it's spring and summer, you know, the leaves have come on. And Senator and I was walking down the long of that property. And I said, well, this is a pine tree. And this is, you know, this is some kind of other tree. And I came to one tree and I said, now, this is an apple tree. And she said, oh, how do you know that? And I said, look, it's got apples on it. I'm a real Sherlock. Yeah. Wasn't that simple? Let's do that again. It's real simple. How do you know it's an apple tree? It's got apples on it. I'll be right back. Isn't that the way it is? How do you know it's an apple tree? It's got apples on it. How do you know you're a Christian? You've got Christian fruit. You're producing a Christian life. That's a question. How do you know a person's saved? By the fruit of their life. I'm telling you, someone is genuinely a Christian. Even if they're looking in the mirror, they ought to be able to say, just like I said with that apple tree, how do I know? There's the fruit. There's the fruit. Amen. And, you know, an apple tree did not have to speak to us as we walk by. You know, I'm always a little doubt of somebody that has to wear a T-shirt telling you what they are. I'm a Christian. That apple tree never, as we walk by, said, hey, look at me. I'm an apple tree. Never had to say a word. It was there. The fruit was there. How many believes if you're really a genuine Christian, you don't have to go around and say, I'm a Christian. The fruit is there. Now look, this may sound strong, but I believe it's the truth. In the modern church of today, we've lied to others and we've lied to ourselves, going around claiming I'm saved, they're saved, everybody's saved, and yet there is no fruit. How can it be an apple tree if there's no apples? If there's no fruit of salvation, there's no salvation. If there's no fruit of a Christian, there is no Christian. And I want to tell you something. I haven't seen too many up here, but we had a lot of elm trees down south. And I want to tell you, Brother Steve, it doesn't matter how hard an elm tree tries, it's never going to produce apples. It's got the wrong nature. And if you're really not saved, it don't matter how hard you try with appearances or anything else, you will never produce fruit. I mean, you can take apples and tie them somehow the other by their stems on an elm tree, but it won't be long until those apples will be rotting and they'll show to everyone they do not come from that tree. And so how do I know I'm saved? I've got fruit, because if you've got a changed nature, the changed nature will produce the fruit. You know, sometimes I ask this in exasperation. Amen. And I don't feel exasperated tonight, but I'm asking in exasperation. Don't we Christians get it? We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to have different attitudes. We're supposed to have a different outlook. We're supposed to have different desires, different values. We're to live differently. We're to have a different fruit than this world. That's something I believe a Christian needs to get. We act differently because we are different. Can you hear that little slogan right now? Can you hear that? Young people, you can tell me what it is. If there is no difference, there is no difference. And you see, in our time, there's an emphasis put upon an experience. Look, I'm thankful for experience, and I believe in that. I believe in a born-again spirit experience. People weep and cry and confess sins and use up Kleenexes as they pray. But I want to tell you, an experience is good, but a Christian is far more than that initial experience. Amen? Far more than that initial experience. Amen. Being a Christian is more than repeating a prayer. Being a Christian is far more than making sure you made reservations to spend eternity in heaven. Being a Christian is far more than going through some motions of maybe baptism so you can claim the name of Christian and have the benefits that go along with it. Being a Christian is having something produced in your life, a fruit that by every part of it says, this is a Christian. Amen. Let me just share some things, and I won't be long, but these are things in my heart. It should never be with us. It should never be among us. What can I do and still be a Christian? That should never be a part of our thinking. What can I do or not do and still be a Christian? What do I have to do or not do to still be a Christian? Here's the way it ought to be. It ought to be, I want to bear the fruits of the Christian. I want to have the fruit of the Christian in my life. It's not I'm trying to battle how much I can get by with, how close to the world. There ought to be something in my heart. If I'm a believer in every way, I want to produce a fruit that says to a lost and dying world that there is a Savior who can make a difference in their life, their marriage, their home, their living. Oh, that ought to be the question. How can I bear fruit? Where's my fruit? Instead of argument, you know, we get in a lot of discussions, people just do that. But instead of the argument, what's right, what's wrong, what can a Christian do or not do? The question is, is it the fruit of a true believer, or is it the fruit of a carnal man, or is it the fruit of an unsaved person? Let's frame the question that way. Instead of us drawing lines and trying to argue this and this, is this right and wrong? Just ask this question. To live that way, to do that thing, is that a Christian fruit or a carnal fruit? Amen. Praise the Lord. You should have shouted when the choir sang. Had your chance. Amen. How many believes you're hearing the Word of God tonight? I know you do. Amen. Sunday beliefs should be demonstrated in Monday behavior. A revival experience ought to be lived in the life, at work, in the neighborhood. But what are the marks? What are the fruits of a truly converted life? What are the fruits that says this is a born-again person? What are they? Now, there's a lot of them that we could deal with and I could talk about tonight, but I want to focus on the ones that I think are dismally missing today from the lives of those that claim to be Christian. And I'm just going to give you a few of them, and I just want you to think about this as we go forth in the week. And I hope I'm preaching, yes, to us and myself, but and to a larger audience, because I really believe this is where American Christianity is missing. There needs to be fruit. You know what Jesus said? And the first fruit I want to talk about is holiness. Holiness. Romans 6:22. But now being made free from sin. Anybody here free from sin? Does that mean you're free to do what you want to do, live how you want to do? No. Being made free from sin, we became what? Let's do that. Being made free from sin, we became servants to God. My life is not my own. It's the Lord's. And having done that, ye have your fruit unto what? Holiness. A fruit that's a proof of a genuine salvation experience is holiness. Holiness. If you're really saved, if I'm really saved, holiness will be a part of our life and of our living. We will have the fruit of holiness. Now, we could spend weeks, and we have. We have. You've been here on Wednesday nights. We have. We could spend weeks on what is holiness and this and that. But I think any honest Bible scholar would agree with me that holiness, however you define it, holiness, however you describe it, at some point you come to holiness is a separation from this world. You don't like its pleasures. You don't like its ways. You don't like its designs. You don't like its values. You've been, after all, being made free from sin, he brought you out of it. You bear the fruit of holiness. And part of that fruit is he gives you a separated life, a separated way of thinking, a separated desire. Hallelujah. How many wants to be made holy before him? If a person says, I'm saved, and all you see in their life is carnality, worldly-mindedness, worldly thinking, they can confess and profess, but there's no fruit of holiness. I'm not talking about how when you get saved, you immediately obtain, or I immediately obtain perfection, complete and total. I've been saved 48 years now. I need a lot of work. If you don't believe it, talk to her. Oh, don't talk to her. Sorry to say, talk to my wife. Don't talk to her. Amen. It's not an immediate and a complete thing. I'm telling you, the fruit of holiness, however, is. Amen. I am passionately desiring and pursuing that God would move in my life, make me in the image of Jesus Christ, cleanse me, purify me, make me more like him. There's something in my heart. I detest that which is evil and dark and sinful and worldly. If you're really a Christian, you have this desire. You have a desire. I want to be pure. I want to be clean. I want to have pure thoughts, pure desire. Amen. I just want to be clean and every way. I don't want to partake of that which is filthy and defiles the work of cleanliness that God has done. I've said the fruit of a Christian is holiness. I've said something, I know I say something sometimes in a way that's shocking, but I used to tell the young people, it shouldn't bother you if you watch a bad movie. And they look at me and say, huh? I said, I'll say it again. It shouldn't bother you as a Christian to watch a bad movie. Don't leave now. You'll think I'm a heretic. And they'll look at me and go, huh? I said, that's right. It shouldn't bother you that you watch a bad movie. It should bother you that it didn't bother you to watch it. It should bother you. It didn't bother you. It shouldn't bother you to listen to that kind of music. It should bother you that it doesn't bother you to listen to it. You see, because when you're born again, sin bothers you. Worldliness bothers you. Ungodliness bothers you. Amen. Because a Christian bears the fruit of holiness. A Christian's life should be marked by holiness, holy living, holy thinking. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, but fornication, listen to this, fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, not let it not be once named among you as become a saint. It should never be heard that someone commits adultery amongst the people of God. It should never be heard that a young Christian person, a young Christian person, commits fornication, carouses. Never. Paul said, never should it be named. Because that's not what Christians are about. We've been saved from sin. Hallelujah. Oh, you've missed this. You said, well, that pastor's up there preaching, and we can't do this. You've totally missed it all. It's not the thing that a Christian can't do, the things of the world. It's the fact, and it's biblical. A Christian doesn't want to. And when he messes up, and when there's a failure, there's something in his heart that detests that thing that he has consumed of the world. A fruit of holiness. What does Paul talk about? He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. He's talking largely here about sexual impurity, fornication, pornography, vicariously participating in the sexual impurity through movies and songs. And he says, let this not be named among those that become as saints. Why? Because if you're saved, you've had a changed nature, and a changed nature will be a changed life. I know there's things of the old life we battle, but even though we're battling those things, we dislike those things. And we have but one desire, to be an overcomer of those things in our life. These young people probably never heard of him. Now, anymore, when I say young people, I'm talking about people 40 and down. But back in the 70s, Lester Roloff, hey, does a name ring a bell? He fought the political system, the church system, and everything to set up a girl and boys home down there in Corpus Christi, Texas, in South Texas. He'd come on the radio singing, "When Jesus Came, When Jesus Comes, When Jesus Comes." Amen. He was a powerful preacher. Only message I ever disagreed with him about was when he preached a message about ruining your beans by putting ham in them. I disagreed with him. And I hadn't heard any message from him, and I don't know when, so last Sunday, I just wanted to hear some preaching, and somehow I saw that link, and I clicked on it, YouTube, and he preached a message, and every time he called people to get right with God. But behind him, I don't know how many, I couldn't count them, but probably at least 100, maybe more, were these young ladies and young boys. Some of them had been on streets and messed up and all kinds of awful home situations and awful sin on the streets. But when he got through preaching, they started singing, "Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as they are. Oh, to be like thee." Oh, it just moved me hearing those young people that came from such a horrible life circumstances, and now they're singing, "Oh, to be like thee." You put a song like that on the wall every morning, and everybody will say, "We can't worship to that. That's too old-fashioned." You've missed the point. The point is, there was a time when a whole bunch of the songs stressed the desire of the believer to be purified and clean and conformed to. We used to sing the song about, what's the one about being made in the image of Christ? Help me out, somebody. Think 70s. I'm trying to download and it got stuck in the jukebox there. Help me. It's right there. It's in the key of F. Does that help you? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. You see, the point was, there was a time when that was a majority of the song, and to hear those young people sing, "Oh, to be," I'm telling you, that's the fruit of holiness. They may not have completely perfect lives yet. They may not have conquered everything, but there was that desire there that was unmistakable. I want to be holy, because my God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Oh, if I'm a true believer, I'll have the fruit of holiness. Another fruit is obedience. 1 John 2:3. "And hereby we do know that we know him." What? "If we keep his commandments." A person really saved has a desire in their heart that says, "I want to obey God rather than men. I want his will for my life. I want to do what the Bible says." I'm not getting the theology of this, but we've had years and years of preaching in our land that salvation is by faith and not by works. And that part is true. But it's been preached in such a way that implies that works never come and works never matter. Salvation is by faith, not by works. But I'm telling you, if you get the real salvation, there will be the fruit of works, because there'll be something birthed in the heart that says, "I want to obey God. I want to do what his word says do." Claiming to be the children of God, so many today are like spoiled children. Spoiled children have no thought of pleasing their parents. They're only concerned in indulging, getting their parents to indulge their every desire. You hear things, and I heard it on the radio just a couple of weeks ago. Christians must sin every day, and no one's perfect. Well, I admit we slip, we mess up, we do sometimes fall into sin, and we do. do sometimes show our imperfection, but that's not the point. The fruit is, if I'm a born again believer, there has been birthed in my heart a desire to obey the Lord. Oh, to be like Him. Oh, to please Him. I want to obey Him. And therefore, in the matters, in the issues, it's not my opinion that matters. It's not what the opinion of my peers that matters. There's only one thing that matters. What does the Bible say? You say, why that? Because God has expressed His will. He's expressed His commandments between the covers of this book. And if I'm really a believer and I have the fruit of obedience in every matter, every issue, every subject, I have but one desire. What does the Bible say? I want to obey God. I want to do His will. I'm talking about the fruit of obedience. Amen. We used to sing, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. We'd sing, not my will, but Thine be done. Amen. Oh, I want that fruit. I've dealt with this several times, but I've dealt with folks that profess to be Christians, and I'd open the book and say, what you're wanting to do? Pastor, I prayed about it. What you're wanting to do, the Bible says it's wrong. And I've had them look at me and said, I know the Bible says it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Am I really saved when I don't have the fruit of obedience? Hallelujah. Now, I want to say this. I just want you to hear, this is a pastoral statement, okay? That's good. I'm not the evangelist. I'm the pastor. But what the Bible says is very often conveyed to us from the preachers and the teachers and the counselors and the parents in our lives. Amen? I know God can speak to you reading your Bible, and I hope He does. But very often, the truth for our lives, God's will and truth for our lives, comes from the leaders He's put in our lives. I'm not talking about self. I'm talking about position. And to go against the leaders when they got the Bible behind them is to disobey God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. Obey them that have the rule over you. We're not talking about dictators. We're talking about shepherds who have but one concern, and that's to see folks get to heaven. Amen. I think I can speak for Brother Brian too. We're not in this to get rich. Amen. Big name. It's because in our hearts, we want to see folks make it to heaven. And God often conveys His truth, His word, through His leaders. And the scripture says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account. Why does Pastor Hurst keep harping on that? Because they must give an account. Let me talk to you, church, here, but it says that they may do it with joy. It says obey somebody that they may do it with joy. What does that mean? Well, you're trying to help something. I say, Brother Steve, you came to me about this and you're wanting to know what to do. And look what the Bible says. You shouldn't do what you're planning on doing. Now, don't do it. And he looks at me like some said, I know the Bible says, but I'm going to do it anyway. And besides that, he looks at me and says, Pastor, you're just doing that to try to make yourself look big and you just like being mean and yeah. I've tried to help him, but I go away with grief and a hurting heart and a bleeding heart. There's a better way. Amen. Someone, a leader, comes to help you. Obey them that have rule over you. They watch for your souls. And when you say, listen, I may not see it all, I may not agree to it all, but you show me from the Word, I'm going to take it, God speaking to me, then that one goes away. Brother Steve says, I'm going to take that. I'm going to follow God. I go away saying, hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't God? And there's a joy in my heart. Hallelujah. That's unprofitable for you, not the preacher. If you don't listen to him, it's not so. It makes the preacher grieve, but it's not unprofitable to him. It's unprofitable to the one who will not take. I'm talking about being a true Christian. There will be the fruit of obedience. I want you to think about that. If a person hears truth and every time they get their hackles up,
They've got to rebel. They've got to express a different opinion, a different. They never can. Amen. Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit of obedience? Amen. That's how we know that we're saved. Praise the Lord. I could talk about many other fruits. I may just do one or two more. Love. John 13. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. They'll know that you're saved. How? Read it with me, church. If you have love one to another. John later says, if you love not your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? I'm telling you, one of the things that an unbeliever should notice when they walk through the doors is the love. Not to the unbelievers, that should be there, yes. But they ought to notice the love to one another. Whether it's in the youth group section, whether it's back in this section, or from one section to the other. When they walk in, they ought to say, those people love one another. How do I know I'm saved? I've got the fruit of love. I even love folks that are hard to love. I just happen to be looking at you, Sister Rose. I didn't mean that. If I got the fruit of love, I'll love folks that are hard to love. Understanding that I'm hard for somebody to love too. Have you ever thought about that? What do you say? Oh, they're just really hard to love. Well, yeah, and some other folk find you really hard to love too. Hallelujah. And if you're sitting there getting mad at me for saying that, you don't have the fruit of love. Right? Love is a fruit. If we do not show love to our brothers and sisters, the unbelieving, the backslidden, who do not have salvation, if they don't see that fruit of love, they'll think there's nothing to this salvation. I just want to tell you, just think about this, church. You know, we're not having this kind of trouble. I don't know why that scripture just keeps going. Paul told the church of Philippi, he said, you do bite and devour one another. Isn't that a good testimony? Isn't that a good testimony? You bite and devour one another. If we're constantly criticizing one another, gossiping about one another, failing to include folks in our circles of fellowship, we don't seek to restore the one that has fallen and messed up. We refuse to show grace to somebody that's really done something dumb. If we're continually putting down folks, then we are no different from this world because that's the way they act. But if I'm saved, I've got a fruit of love. I want to back up on some of those things. We live in such a critical world, hypersensitive critical. You could name a professional ball team X, Y, and Z, and somebody would take offense. Somebody would criticize. Everything is critical. And gossip. Amen. Talking about folks don't know the whole scoop, the whole story, but just sharing. Folks messing up and people ready to write them off and give up on them. I'm telling you, that's not the way of the Christian. Amen. Excluding folks. Nobody should be left out in Christian circles. I believe this. My wife and I talk about nobody should have to sit by themselves at a church dinner. Amen. Christian has the fruit of love. Nobody should have to sit by themselves in a church service. Amen. Nobody should have to feel like they have to struggle with their need and their problem alone. You say, yeah, 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 but you don't know this and that about them. Yeah, but look what all God knew about us, and he loved us. Hallelujah. How many wants to have the fruit of love? I'm not saying you don't. Amen. But if you're all puffed up about me preaching about it, you probably don't. Amen. The fruit of love. The fruit of love. If we as Christians do not follow the golden rule, we do not have the fruit of love. And the golden rule is whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them, thinking of others, putting others' needs before our own. Amen. The Bible says, don't look you on your own needs, but look also on the needs of others. Let no man think of himself more highly than he ought, but let each esteem other better than himself. And let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus our Lord, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant,
Spirit and was made in the likeness of men. Amen. Have love, the fruit of love. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Amen. Give them the benefit of knowing what really took place. Amen. Before the judgment is passed. Amen. Let's have love one to another. Hallelujah. Give me that old time religion. What will it do? It'll make you love everybody. I always wonder about that. Make you. Even you're going to love them. Oh, but it's not an outside coercion. It's an inside thing that happens. It's the change of nature. It's the change of heart that bears the fruit. If we're not thinking of the needs of others, we don't have that fruit. I was thinking this afternoon of one of the times back in the Neosho church when we were teaching. And I had responsibilities, and I'd come in late and sit towards the back. And as I sat there, I looked, and there were two young men of that church at the time. And they were raised in that church all their life. They knew better. But all during the service and singing, they sat talking to each other. And that's bad enough. But what really bothered me was right behind them were some people that had come in that needed Christ. And the whole service, they couldn't really hear the preacher or what was said from the pulpit. Pit of the singing, because two young men were sitting in front. I mean, that's not the fruit of love. The fruit of love is that I may want to say something, I may want to do something, but there's somebody behind me or in front of me that needs something from God, and I don't want to do anything that would hinder them or keep them from receiving what God and the salvation God wants to give them. Fruit, I could talk about witness. When we really get saved, you can know you're saved when you got a desire for other people to get saved. You believe that, Sister Brock? If you're really saved, there's birthed within you a desire for other folks to get saved. Amen. Let me just briefly mention one more: joy. Hallelujah. When you really get saved, you have the fruit of joy. My wife said one time about a sister, and the sister's always depressed, was always sour about something. And my wife said, if I was looking at her, if I wasn't a Christian, and I was just looking at her and nobody else, I'd never want to be a Christian. Amen. I know we have troubles. I know we have struggles. I know we have problems. But if we're really saved, at some point there's going to surface joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you want to bear fruit? Hallelujah. Would you come, music? God help us. Young people, I haven't really just pointedly said anything tonight, but you're getting ready to go to youth camp, and I want to tell you, it's a healthy thing to be interested in your age and members of the opposite sex. That's a healthy thing. But I'm going to tell you, when you start looking at somebody, don't look at the front. Look for the fruit. Look for the fruit. Somebody don't like to pray in the altar. Somebody that don't like the things of God. Somebody that's always talking about, why does the director of the camp do this? Why doesn't, you know, he's silly. Don't look at the front. Anybody can put on a front for a few days. Isn't that right, Brother Ryan? They can. Don't look at the front. Look for the fruit. Don't look at the Photoshop. Look at the fruit. Amen. Oh, I want to bear fruit. I want to have the fruit in my life. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. As much as I believe that Jesus has the power to save, I believe that same power results in a changed life that bears fruit. I don't know if you remember this. I vaguely did until I looked at it again. But only a year ago, February, do you remember this? In Great Britain, they discovered that a meat packing company that was packaging stuff as beef and pork, and they found out it was actually horse meat. Does anyone remember that? And it spread because IKEA, is that how you say it? IKEA, French. They were selling some things too, and it was labeled pork and beef, and it was horse meat. Meatballs, it was meatballs. And so that got people in Iceland concerned, and so they started going and they started testing the meat products in the grocery stores, and they tested this one particular brand that sold meat pies and found out the meat pie was labeled beef and pork, and found out it was horse pie. So what is it? It's horse meat. And here's what that inspector said. I thought it was so instructive. He said, now that's a peculiar thing. It was labeled as beef pie, so it should be
beef pie. Isn't that great? It was labeled beef pie, so it should have been beef pie. If it's labeled Christian, it ought to be Christian. Amen. Could you stand across the building? Brother Mike, go ahead and put those last scriptures. You say, Pastor, I'm not doing too good. I'm not going to interpret. I'm just going to read it. You say, Pastor, God's speaking to me tonight, and I'm not doing too good. I'm not saying everybody that has a trouble in one of these areas is lost. But I'm telling you, if you're really saved, you'd be concerned if you're having trouble in one of these areas and say, I want God to help you with that fruit. So if you're having trouble, here's some good news. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Someone claimed to be a Christian, but no fruit. And then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cometh it to ground? Get rid of it. That could have been the end. And the man that worked with the trees answered, said, Lord, let it alone this year, till I also shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. In other words, the man said, give it some more time. Let me do some more work on it. I'm glad we have a Savior that when we're not bearing fruit, he says, give it some time. I'll just do some more work on it. I'll let it be in another service with the moving of the Spirit. I'll let that person hear the truth of God's Word again. I'll talk to them. I'll speak to them. I'll minister to them. Give them a little bit of time. Aren't you glad God gives us time to bear fruit? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to be a fruit-bearing believer, I'm not saying you're not, but I'm just saying that's your desire. You want to be a fruit-bearing believer, young or old, across the world. Would you come in as close as you can tonight? Let's spend some time and say, Lord, I want these fruits of my life. Holiness, obedience, love, witnessing, and joy. There's other fruit, but those are good ones that we must have, we need. I want these fruit in my life. I want these fruit in my life. Hallelujah. Be honest tonight. Be honest. Am I really a Christian? Am I really saved? Why do I get so angry? Why do I show so little love? Why do I care so much about the things of the world? Amen. Come on, let's be honest in this altar tonight. If I'm a believer, why do I have such an affinity for and a desire for those things that are outside? Lord, I don't want that to be. Dig around me, God, in these altars. Lord, refertilize me in these altars. Lord, pour in the water of the Holy Ghost in my life. Lord, take some time with me tonight in the altar. Hallelujah. I want to bear fruit. I want to bear fruit.